Agenda item number two is report and possible discussion on actuarial evaluation report from Arthur.
Yeah, that's fine.
Correct?
Yes.
Arthur J. Gallagher and company by Jen Turk, actuarial consultant.
Hi, everyone. Good to be here again. So we've all, do you want, is there a clicker or something that I should drive with, or?
If you'd like.
Or should I just, yeah, do you want me to, I can drive, it's like, oh, if you want. Great, hopefully this will work. I'm Jen Turk, I've been the actuary on the plan for a number of years. So this first slide, I know it's pretty much the same as last year, but just a reminder, every year we go and do an actuarial evaluation as kind of a pictorial representation of the process. So the greens are all the inputs that we use. We get an annual participant data update. We look at the assumptions and methods that we're using to value those people, how long we expect them to work at Brazos, how long we expect them to live and receive benefits, whether we think they'll be married and take a surviving spouse benefit, etc. And then the plan provisions, of course, are pretty simple at this point since it's been frozen for about 10 years now. So those don't change. It's just if we, you know, if we have an estimate of the person's benefit when they go to retire, we recalculate it and finalize it at that point. So every once in a while, it'll come up that there'll be some small changes. So we bring all those inputs together and we come up with your liability. And then we compare that to the value of the assets that we have. And we come up with an unfunded liability. And we amortize that. And you guys have been amortizing over a closed 20-year period. So we have 14 years that we're amortizing over at this for this valuation. So the next gives us a snapshot of that data input. One thing that I think is kind of interesting that we're starting to see more and more, so the plan's been frozen for 10 years, so at this point, a lot more people have a bigger portion of their career where they didn't earn a pension benefit. So you can see in every single category, the average monthly benefit for folks has been decreasing. And we expect that that would continue because, you know, someone who retires 10 years from now, they're going to have 20 years of service without a pension, and possibly just, you know, 5 or 10 years of their career would have been under the pension. So every year that we have, that we go forward in time, we expect those numbers to continue to come down. You can see on the next page, it's a little easier to see kind of how people move in and out of the plan. I will say one thing. So we had a number of deaths during the year, but almost the majority of people who died had a surviving spouse beneficiary. They had a form of annuity that continues on to people. And we actually had one person who had two beneficiaries. So we actually have more beneficiaries now than we did when we then retirees, basically. We added a beneficiary who was kind of additional. So that's the reason why there's an increase of one on the beneficiaries column, on that total column. And then we had three participants who died who had just a life-only annuity, or else they had a joint survivor, but the spouse had already predeceased the participant. So that's kind of the story. It's been similar. I mean, slowly but surely, the numbers are shrinking. We've gone from 346 down to 344. Not a big drop, but every year we expect that to pick up as the population ages. So then we can kind of see these are the actives that are remaining who still currently work at Brazos, who have a pension, and we're just continuing to see that. I always call it the baby boomer bubble. So we have a lot of people who are in the 50 to 55 range. And then we also have a lot of people who are 65 and older who are still working. So we'd expect to see quite a few retirements coming up. So for planning purposes, succession and training is going to be an issue coming up, I would expect, just because of this age distribution. So the next page talks about the assumptions that we're using. These are the same as what we had used last year. We did do an experience study that auditors wanted us to specifically look at the retirement and the termination rates. So the difference between the two, what we refer to as a termination, is typically someone who goes out before they're eligible for a pension. So 55 and younger, the termination rates apply. And then 55 and older, they would be considered a retirement because they'd be eligible when they left the company to start their pension. So when we, the auditors wanted us to take a look at those, and we did find there was more terminations and fewer retirements. So we kind of picked some rates to kind of smooth those out. And we found that it really didn't change the overall liability hardly at all when we update those rates. And that kind of tells me a couple of things. The benefit is frozen, obviously, so people aren't rewarded for working longer at this point. They're not going to earn more benefit. Their salary isn't counting any longer. And also, if someone starts early or late, if they start at 55 or 65 or, you know, even 70, the benefit gets adjusted up or down for early or late retirement. So it kind of makes sense to me. I mean, if I would have taking a guess, I would have guessed ahead of time that was going to be the case, that there wasn't going to be much of a change in liability when we adjust those rates, and it came out that that was the case. So if someone starts earlier, they get a smaller benefit for longer. If someone starts later, they get a bigger benefit for less time. They're pretty much equivalent. So the auditors luckily were okay with us tabling this issue until next year because we had enough to kind of look at with other issues. So they were nice enough to say, yep, that's de minimis or whatever the term they use. Immaterial, there you go. So they let us put it off until next year. So next year we're going to change those, but like I said, the liability hardly changed at all. We are smoothing the assets over a five-year period just to try and help the plan be less volatile in its funding and contributions. And then, again, that 20-year period, so we're 14 years left in your amortization period here. So we take that census update, we take all those assumptions, and we project out what we think people are going to do. And kind of related to that assumption topic, the difference in the future between the black bar and the orange bar, it doesn't matter so much which group people end up being in. It's more so the total participant count that is really driving your liability. And so the only way to get rid of the people is to have them pass away. So it's a slow process. As you see, we lose a couple people a year, and that'll kind of continue for many years in the future. So there's probably some, 30, 40, maybe 40-year-olds in the plan that could be around for 50, 60 years in our projections. So that's that story. So after we kind of apply the assumptions and figure out what the benefits are going to be, we project out the future benefits that the plan's going to be expected to pay. So this is kind of the curve. It'll stay right around what it is right now, 2.4 or so, going out each year for a number of years. If you guys didn't earn anything on your assets and you didn't put any more money in the plan, you'd have about 8.5 years worth of benefit payments in the bank. That $20 million would cover about 8.5 years. So those, all the future contributions and the future return on your assets is going to cover kind of the rest. So that's the black, is future to be paid or to be earned. So then the next thing we do in our picture, so once we have all the benefits, we present value those and find the liability. And then we compare it to the assets that are in the bank. The rate of return over the 1 year was pretty close to our expected of 6.5. You can see last year, for comparison purposes, we had a huge gain. So that large gain, since we smoothed the assets, it wasn't all recognized last year. So you're going to benefit from that for another each year as we add more of that gain in. And then the adjustment that we made, it's on my slide. I don't know if I should point out what that is for, or if we should wait till special session.
I think it's fine. It's fine as is.
Okay.
We just move on.
So we made an adjustment for the outstanding benefit payments that are being determined to lower the assets. So the asset value that we actually ended up using isn't the amount that was in the trust. It was the $20.4 million that we used in our valuation. So then the next slide kind of puts this all together in our nice little picture. We take the present value of all those future benefits that are payable and get $31 million just over. We smooth out those assets, so you'll see the 20.4 on the previous page. After we smooth out the past 5 years of gains and losses, it's 20.8 million for our valuation purposes. So we have about a $10.5 million unfunded liability. And when we amortize that over 14 years, and that's using that 6.5% interest, we get the $1.1 million for a recommended contribution, which I think was very similar to the amount that you had made. Yeah, so last year you guys had contributed just over $1 million, so we've come up just a little bit from that. So if you make a contribution halfway through the plan year, we'd recommend making that $1,137,903. And then we look, just to kind of give you a picture of what it might look like if you don't earn that 6.5% investment return in the long run. If you earn a lot more, we'd expect you'd need about $900,000 each year to fully fund the plan. And on the flip side, if you earn 5.5%, so a percent less than what we're expecting, you'd be looking at about $1.4 million. So that kind of tells you the range of how much the investment returns kind of dictate how much you're going to have to put into the plan.
Also says how important that return is.
Noted.
That 1.3 is budgeted.
We had budgeted 1.1 million, mm-hmm. and it's pretty close to that. But not the 1.3, but basically the 1.4.
Yeah, yep. The 6.5%.
Right.
Yep.
I'm sure that they'll do better than that. So
sure.
You save a bunch of money. So then this is projecting out the contributions. You can see the next couple of years it kind of goes up a little bit and down because of those asset gains and losses that are getting smoothed in. But once those are all recognized, we are going to sit right at about $1.1 million, as long as, you know, our assumptions, especially the investment return assumption, is met. So no pressure up to Wells Fargo. 6.5%. Gotta get it.
Yeah, right.
You can see why all these companies got out of pension plans.
Yeah. It's an expensive gig to be in, for sure. So then this just shows what we project out the liabilities and the assets. After your 14-year amortization period, we expect you'll be fully funded in 2032. The assets and liabilities, so the assets are pretty much going to stay smooth because you're paying out benefit payments, but then you're earning investment returns, so that's expected to stay kind of flat. On the flip side, the liability is coming down a lot because as you pay benefit payments, the liability is shrinking. No one's earning more benefits to increase that back up. So the liability will just get eaten away as the years go by and benefits get paid out. So we expect 2032 will be fully funded and you won't have to put any more money in. That's our goal.
Right around the corner.
That's my story. Yeah.
It'll be here tomorrow.
Yeah, it'll be here before you know it.
Any questions for Jen?
Did we achieve our goal this year? Our really short one.
Very close. 6.3 versus 6.5 above. Mm-hmm. So, no. Real close.
And that would be Tony to talk about that.
Mm-hmm. Pardon?
Tony will talk about that.
Tony's going to tell us how to make it up.
He's going to get us to the 7.5, right?
It's a guarantee, too. Any other questions for Jen?
No.